Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
GSW. That's what the hospitals call it. Gunshot wound. Doctor has to report it to the police. That makes it hard for guys in my line to get what I'd call quality health care. Not many men know what their life's worth. I do. 70 grand.
Starting to look like roast beef.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, and this is episode 637. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. I pulled his nose ring out once because he grabbed his own crotch Dunaway.
Wow, that hurts.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Oh, hi.
Hi.
This week on Film Sack, we return from the mostly dead and go looking for some These Little Piggies Are Starting to Look Like Roast Beef Style Payback after Amazon Prime shoots us in the back with a pay us more money or watch these ads when we try to pleasure our Max Madness in this neo-crime crime thriller from 1999. Is this because you saw us frolicking with our side piece, sexy Netflix? Hubba hubba. I need a cigarette, apparently. Anywho, as I often do while watching violent torture scenes in movies, I try to imagine how I might would fare. Like, how many toes could I have smashed with a hammer before I would spill all the beans? What would I give up after one toe smash? I'm assuming we are starting with pinkies. So after one pinky toe, I would tell them all about Randy's beard oil, the brand, where to get it, how much he pays, everything. Two toes in, I'm singing you the story of where Ibbot keeps the good liquor. It's behind the Spider-Man shit in a teeny fridge made for one. And if I'm still able to walk through the crying and puking after three toes, I'm telling them all about Scott's two bad habits. And how right now I'm only interested in one of them. Randy, I should have driven you somewhere else. Somewhere else, man.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Only interested in one of Lucy Liu's talents.
Well, she's got two habits.
She's got two habits.
What's the other one?
Yeah, I don't even want to know. Well done. Also with us, Randy, he likes having one of his Charlie's Angels come to his apartment and kick the shit out of him all night, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott.
Brian.
Thank you for barging in here and beating up a couple of my best guys. I have to hand it to you. You're even more impressive than your reputation. You're only like 5'9", and I wasn't expecting you to be so clean-shaved when it's clear that you haven't seen the inside of a bathroom for several days. But hey, I'm just a rich man sitting at an obnoxiously huge desk by which you'd never know it that really all I do is run a mob hotel. My boss isn't even the head of our organization. All he does is do travel arranging for his boss. And that's the guy you've got to talk to if you can work around his 14-hour-per-day rowing machine habit. My boss has an assistant who does nothing but arrange for replacement rowing machines. Seriously. Anyway, Let's get you headed on up toward being captured and tortured, shall we? And you're going to make it through the capture and torture, as long as you don't kill me before you hear my three rules. Mm. Number one, on the way in, remember to check and make sure the car they're going to throw you into, the trunk of, make sure that car has a rotary car phone in it. Mm. If you have to, stop the torturers and ask them in advance about the rotary car phone. Number two, make sure that before you get captured, you completely empty your bowels, like in a toilet. This is actually good advice for any strenuous activity you might be about to undertake. Number three, when they're bludgeoning your toes, you can't just tell them the address of the wrong place immediately. You have to let them completely destroy some of your body parts first and then tell them the address. Or maybe you really like pain and you should just hook up with that Chinese lady. She might just look at your foot and climax.
Oh, Lucy Liu. I mean, yeah. She's done some things, but this one, geez, Louises. That was great. Now let's turn our attention to Brian. There are surely worse things in life than being kidnapped by Maria Bello Ibbett.
Oh, no kidding. I can think of everything. All right, let's get to this. I had so much fun doing Yacht Rock last week. I decided to do it again.
Table surgery. Take a few months to recover. So you do a little burglary just to fund you as you discover that your wife is hooked on smack now, which makes her a little hostile. And the nose ring wearing jackass, so you pull it through his nostril. You need pay back for 70K. That doesn't seem like much. You want pay back for 70K.
Seriously? 70K? That's like what the loser gets on Survivor.
Next you kill a buck-tooth raisin, and you climb the outfit's ladder. One by one, with guns a-blazin', each boss gets older and sadder. The big boss is quite a stinger when he grabs you off the street. He's the Bobby McGee singer. He makes roast beef of your feet. It's all pay back for 70K. You just seem out of touch to get your face cracked for 70K.
Wow. You can actually hear the note I can get, and then the very next note up that I can't. There's that division line right there.
Felt like you could, I don't know, it felt like a real strain on a couple of those. I was impressed.
it was a strain on a couple.
Man.
Yes. That was the first time, though, that I did the whole thing in one take and didn't have to edit additional vocals and stuff like that.
Oh, that's good.
I'm sorry, but a bucktooth raisin, It's just amazing lyric, and it's an amazing line. So, this is a movie that dominated my movie quoting for about 10 years. My brother and I saw it together when it was in theaters, and then for the next decade, we quoted this movie so damn. We would go into a restaurant and it said, sushi special, $14. And we'd say, $14? I got suits that cost more than that.
Yeah. you're not wrong. That's mean, man. That's just mean.
That line's great. Yes.
Yeah. For some reason, I've had a very similar experience with my buddy Drew. Andrew and I saw this in theaters and then a million times on VHS and DVD. And we quoted it constantly. I don't know why that was, though. What is it about Payback where Randy and my life were sort of altered by it?
It was so well written. I didn't give a whole lot of thought to this movie after we watched it. Tina and I were visiting my folks out in Houston or Connecticut. My dad was moving around for work, and we got to town too early. Like we knew that we were going to get to town early, and we're like, oh, we'll just keep busy. We'll find something to do for a few hours while you're wrapping up your work day. And we're like, yeah, let's go see a movie. Payback? Sure, why not? And I basically remember the first 10 minutes of the film. I remember the getting the bullets pulled out of his back, and that's kind of all I remembered until watching it this time.
Yeah. And you'd seen it done away?
What about
you? Yeah. What's your history with it?
I think I saw it much later after you guys did. I've seen it before, but I didn't see it until I was, let's put it this way. As a young person, the uber violence and the quick one-liners would have made me, you know, throw my hand over my mouth and go, oh yeah. But you know, once I had kids and settled down a little bit and watched it later, I just appreciated mostly the shots of how it was shot. I was like, oh wow, this is a really well shot film. Yeah. And I really like what's going on here. But the uber violence and the quotableness of it really missed me.
I think I only just picked up on the cinematography this one viewing. Like I've seen this movie 15 times. This is the first time I really sat back and noticed how they're using the whole frame in almost every shot. I don't know. This movie punches way above its weight class.
I agree. My memory of it was that they spent a lot more time in those hotel rooms shooting Val in the face between, with a gun with a pillow for a silencer. Like all of those scenes seem like they were a lot longer in my memory. There's way more outdoor stuff. There's way more city stuff. There's way more Lincoln Continentals than I've ever seen in my freaking life.
Yes, so much.
That was right. They must have had a deal there. But so what we usually do on the show lately, anyways, we have one of our patrons do the read. We had somebody, but he just happened to be away for work. He was traveling and couldn't do it. So I have a fallback, and the fallback is Fake Fletcher. And I have to say, Fake Fletcher delivered today. So here, enjoy.
Payback! After a successful heist, Porter is left for dead. Once he recovers, he seeks vengeance and wants his share of the money. 70 grand, dude! 70 grand! That's a lot!
That's not that much. I mean, really maybe an... Oh,
yeah.
Brian, switch mics. You can hear Brian's mic switch. You there?
Right.
Did you hear that Ibbot mic switch? Did you hear it?
Ibbot?
Hello?
Yeah, Ibbot. Are you not hearing
it? Oh, now we hear you good. Now we hear you
good. You're good.
For a second, you were on some kind of weird mic.
No, I know. I have to do the... I have to change loop back and do it again, and then I have to change Discord to use the right microphone.
Keep that in the chamber in case we ever have to do a Discord movie. You know,
okay, we'll do.
It's not bad.
Can I correct you, Scott?
Correct me.
This movie has about five different Lincoln Town Cars. The Continental was the name that line had before these movies.
Oh, they're town cars in this movie.
So, like, okay. if it had been like an 81 or something, it would have been a Continental. But there's like a bunch of late 80s and early 90s Lincoln Town Cars. That's the
model. And mobs love this shit. Mobsters, freaking dirty cops love these cars.
Well, every car in the movie is supposed to look like the kind of car that a rich person would want to ride around town in.
Yeah.
You know, so like there's
a town car.
A town car.
But like there's Crown Victorias, and there's a couple of Cadillacs. They're like Cadillac Fleetwoods, you know, like it makes it look like the city is populated entirely by cabbies and rich people.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that there is a internet movie. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes,
internet
the movie car database.
And here's the listing. The Cadillac Brougham, the Cadillac Fleetwood stretched limousine, the Chevy Caprice.
The Brougham, I think it's Brougham.
Brougham, okay.
That's the one where he gets thrown in the trunk and he breaks through the back seat.
Custom sweet leather seats. You're going to have to get some repair on that, man.
That's going to cost you some cash there. What that'll do. How about the cigarette? The one getting blown up with a cigarette, that's a town car, right? Yeah, there it is.
Yes. Yeah, you can even see it getting blown up.
They used a picture. They have multiple pictures of him lighting it. That's great.
Yeah,
the car of the movie for me is right at the beginning when we're in a flashback and we get to see Porter and Resnick take down some triads, and they do it in a 69 Roadrunner, man.
Yeah.
A freaking fat piece of iron. And they have the sound of the car in the movie, which is just, guys.
And then they hop out and get into another old sports car as well. So it's a lot of
this fun. This movie just never lets up. Like, yeah. All of these details. Like, I feel like I could talk about the movie for longer than the runtime of the movie.
Well, we've done this. Good. So we're now many years, I think, into talking about, well, oh, can't wait for Payback. Payback's coming. We're going to watch Payback. Can't wait for it. And Randy's always like, oh, I love that movie. And I'm always like, yeah, man, that movie's great. I still really enjoyed this viewing like a whole lot, with one exception. The music's bad. The music's bad in this movie. I didn't like this, like, only thing that would have made it a little bit worse was some saxophone. They stopped short of that. I have examples later when we do clips, but it's not great.
That's a very interesting take, because like it's supposed to be a bunch of timeless like standards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't find it interesting either way. I found it just to be appropriate. That's all I found.
I mean, it's okay, but I just, if I were going to do it today, I'd use something else. Like, it just sounded like, it is a, maybe that late 80s, what we think is cool for a mob movie music is just not holding up or something.
Well, popped into a couple of discordant parts. Sorry, maybe I didn't hear you talk.
No, go ahead. You first.
Oh, I was going to say, I was going to say, I made a note that the beginning music is pretty good because it's kind of discordant.
Yeah, I like that. That was cool.
It hooks you. But then about halfway through, it starts sounding like TV music.
Yes. Here. You know what? That's the perfect way of putting it. I'll go ahead and play some. Why not? Here. I'll play it now. Here's the, let's see where the first clip is, this one right here. I mean, that's like moonlighting shit.
Coming up on Simon and Simon.
Yeah. Right? And then here's another example of it. I mean, this is TV music, or like an Eddie Murphy movie that wasn't as good as Beverly Hills Cop.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And it's fine.
Yeah, that might have been. So there were changes where eventually we know we have to talk about the director's cut. But that was apparently straight one up. Of the things that changes. Yeah, Payback Straight Up, which came out in 2007, and was basically Brian Helgeland's original version of the film. So Mel Gibson wanted a bunch of changes. The studio wanted changes. It didn't do well during test screenings because the dog dies. Maybe Porter dies at the end. You don't know for sure. There's also a very cringy, controversial scene where he and Deborah Unger beat the crap out of each other, and basically you find out then that she shot him in the back and left him for dead, and that's why, you know, she hits him and then he beats her up. And I saw a clip of that and I'm like, oh god, yeah, that is rough to watch.
She hurt her ribs some trivia about her ribs getting broken or cracked or something.
Really? Okay, yeah. I didn't hear about that. Yeah.
She wasn't like mad. She was like, we just really got into it and I got
I'm
hurt.
Not mad about it, you know.
We're
not
I'm okay getting beat up by Mel Gibson.
It's fine.
Go ahead, Randy. Sorry, cut you off there.
So it just in every possible way, the director's cut is worse than the theatrical
version. Heard this. So
I have a really hard time with the whole thing. Like the story is, that we're getting about how the theatrical version came to be is always coming from Brian Helgeland, you know? So like, of course we're getting like, oh, well they ruined this and they ruined that. I think the theatrical version is just about right. Like I can't really find any faults with it. It's when you watch the director's cut that you realize it. Like the director's cut doesn't have the voiceover. Who the hell in their right mind would take away this incredible voiceover by Mel Gibson? Like it makes no sense.
It falls under the same kind of thing as it turns it into a different movie. If you look at it, and the Blade Runner is probably the best comparison with the voiceover removal.
Also that noir. Turns it
very noir. But then you watch the clips of the straight up version, and it's not blue hued. It's you know, full color. There's little or no narration by Mel Gibson. They're the scenes that I talk about. The ending is completely different. Instead of the blowing up the bad guys in a phone, using a phone and the using the trap they set up, there's a shootout at a train station that is a little that's a little weak. It's a little like anticlimactic after everything else that he's gone through, but he does get the full $130,000 as opposed to just the $70,000.
And he gets shot he gets shot like in the stomach. Like he he takes a kill shot, and there's absolutely no question about that he is dying at the end of the movie.
Mm. Well, and he says at the very end, they drive off and he says, "Don't worry, I know a guy." And so, you know, he's talking about the doctor that, that fixed him in the beginning of the film, which I think is a very kind of funny little bookend wraparound. So that part of it I like.
Is this, this movie, the narration part of it, I assume was added later when they wanted to do fixes, not the other way around. Cause that's how those are, right?
No.
Like Dark City did that. Blade Runner did it. It was after the fact when they the studio said, "Oh, we don't know. This is not testing well. Let's add narrator." They didn't do that here. That was already part of it, and they took it out.
No, the narration was added for the theatrical.
Which is what we got. Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. Right? Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
And so, like, the main thing that happens here when Helgeland takes 15 minutes out of the movie and you know, like, changes a whole character, like, you completely lose the, you know, the Kris Kristofferson character. When this happens, my brother and I are really excited about a director's cut of this movie because we love this movie, this was when whatever the platform was, the first platform that came along that played Blu-rays was.
Okay.
This was an early Blu-ray.
07 that would have been. 07 would have been your PS5. Or sorry, PS3. PS3 is what PS3. I meant to say. Yeah.
So anyway, we go get the Blu-ray at freaking Blockbuster, and we sit down to watch it. And we're just sitting there for an hour. We're just like, all that's happening right now is this movie, this really funny movie, is no longer funny. They've removed all the dark comedy. And we just want to watch the original. Like, the whole time. Right. Man, can we just go get the original and watch it? Because it was just never good, you know?
Mm. Right. It's funny because that is about, like, what when I did a little searching online, just kind of seeing what people thought of the director's cut versus the regular version, there's a big Reddit thread about which is the better version, straight up or the original or the theatrical. And it feels like it is right down the middle. Like, there's people who vehemently defend the theatrical version. And then there's other ones who say, oh God, no, the director's cut is less silly. It's more gritty. It's darker, and it has more of a ambiguous ending. I think it's a far better film. But it is literally right down the middle. With people,
usually
it's one way, heavily weighted one way or the other.
Sure.
Yeah.
Was there much conversation like with people like going, oh, but the source material was much darker because it's kind of based on a none of that conversation. Okay. Is just like no, a standalone.
Because this movie kind of comes out of nowhere. There's not like some expectation for this. The book wasn't a big deal, you know?
Well, Point Blank was a fairly big deal, which was based on the same book, you know, and if you were kind of in that
Point vein, Blank came out in the 70s or something? 60s? When was Point Blank?
67.
There it is. Yeah. Lee Marvin.
Lee Marvin.
Yeah. Love me some Lee Marvin. By the way, I don't know why you put James Coburn in this and not credit him. He's not in the credits. The hell?
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's a big role. He had a big part.
He does. Yeah. He delivers a great line, a couple great lines.
Yeah, I love suits. I love him. I love him in everything, actually. And I, you know, this would have been, let's see, at least, a few years after, Monsters, Inc., when he was the bad guy in Monsters, Inc. He was great in that. Mm-hmm. I liked his late career stuff. Died not too many years after this. But if you're going to put him in your movie, that's a guy you put his name in the credits for. What are you doing?
Yeah.
James Coburn. Holy shit.
Right.
I mean, he's not really my generation's action hero, but I know what I'm looking at. That's James Coburn.
Yeah, I know what I'm looking at.
apparently, in addition to Point Blank and Payback, the Porter character is based on the Parker character from The Hunter. I guess it's a series of novels. Has actually appeared in three films. 68's The Split with Jim Brown as Parker. 73's The Outfit with Robert Duvall as Parker. And more recently, Jason Statham as Parker in the movie Parker.
Oh, really?
2013.
Yeah. No way. I always wondered what that whole Parker thing was about. I was like, should I know this? And then I never saw it.
It might be good here, actually.
It might be good to see if we can watch it here.
I wouldn't mind it. But anytime you say to me, hey, Scott, guess who's in a movie? And I say, who? And they say, well, it's got William Devane. It's got that Val Resnick actor who is a psycho. It's got Kris Kristofferson and James Coburn's in it. I would say, well, then sign me up and let's go get in the car.
Yeah.
Like that's
yeah.
Greg Henry, man.
Get and in the we, trunk.
Yeah.
I just right out of the gate, Greg Henry is such a presence in this movie. Like, like I can't imagine someone else in it, you know?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
No, he's
in
great.
That role.
He's great. In fact, it annoys me because when I saw him in later stuff, Kim is always watching Gilmore Girls over and over. She loves it.
Oh, yeah, everybody. Oh my gosh.
And he's the dad of her college of the daughter's college boyfriend for the last 2-3 seasons, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And he plays this uptight newspaper mogul. It's nothing this hitman psycho thing that he plays in this.
He plays it so well, though. Yeah.
And so anytime I see him do other stuff, I just go, no. That's not you. You're Val Resnick.
That's not you, man.
You're Val Resnick. You like being beaten to death by Lucy Liu. What, this isn't you.
Yeah.
He's a DC Marvel crossover guy, too, because he's...
Peter Quill's grandfather.
Peter Quill's grandfather in the Guardians movies. Brother Blood, voice-wise, in the Teen Titans Judas Contract animated film.
I like him even more. That's
great. My money, like the best little walk-on role ever is Greg Henry in one episode of Firefly, where he's a local like town sheriff that captures our leads and can't pin their crime on them, and then sort of like follows them from a distance and captures them again in the dark.
Yeah.
He's just perfect for this kind of thing.
Yeah, I like everybody. David Paymer's amazing. Bill Duke's amazing. John Glover, who played Phil, was just kind of a henchman. Yeah. Wasn't in this much, but he was in that Smallville. He was Smallville Lex Luthor dad. Remember that?
Yeah, I think of him most as the Trump character in the Gremlins sequel. Basically, he's the guy who has the building that's gone awry and everybody's dying in there.
That's right.
I would watch a TV series spinoff with Bill Duke and Jack Connelly doing their Leary and Hicks.
Dude, I know.
So much fun. Just watching them.
And it's like Bill Duke and Jack Connelly have no business being so good in this movie. It's such a pair of bit roles, right?
It's not much to them,
but the way this original cut of the movie frames every character, you really get a sense that the character belongs. It's, you know what I'm saying? Like even like the John Glover role, which is William Devane's assistant, basically is like lieutenant.
Yeah.
That like you really see him, you hear him, like you're given who he is, and they cast all these people because I think they all look a little different, sound a little different.
Yeah. The movie's very good at that. And I think that's one of the things I always loved about it is I'm getting great archetypes and I'm understanding them entirely within very short minutes. It's like,
As soon as you see them, you know what their deal is.
Exactly. Yeah. Even the radio guy who was just kind of guarding the front desk, that Kwame Okokomo or Mokio.
When he comes into the radio man, when he comes into the room after getting whacked in the head, that scene is just hilarious.
It's great. Yeah. It's great. Because I could watch these guys. Yeah.
He's acting his ass off. And the like the dark comedy of the movie is that he's been beaten off screen, right? He has to show you that with his scowl. And he does, and they've captured it perfectly.
No, I agree. That's the strength of it. And so it sounds like a lot of that is lost in the extended edition.
You don't even get anything with the son, obviously. If you don't have Christopherson, you don't have the Well, I don't know. Did Did you, was the son in the kidnapping? No. That whole thing is gone,
pretend,
right?
You could pretend like he's the son of any of the
of
the
Sally Kellerman. Really. Yeah. And that's, that is the, And I love Kris Kristofferson. He's in the original, it's Sally Kellerman over the phone, which is the tropiest trope ever, is that the bigwig you never see and you just hear them over the phone and controlling everything.
When you say original, you mean the
I'm sorry, the director's cut. Director's the original cut of the
original
film,
intent.
Yeah.
Right. And I like her a lot, but I got to say, and I'll say it in a current context, we don't see enough Kris Kristofferson. I know he's really old now. Okay. He probably doesn't care and is chilling.
Not then.
He's probably chilling somewhere. I don't know what he's doing. But when he was doing Blade and this and all these kind of like subgenre things.
Maybe we won't talk
about
Millennium.
Maybe not Millennium. I liked with the show Millennium.
Maybe we will.
I liked Millennium. You talking about the TV
show? No,
you did not. You did not like
TV show?
That. Me too.
That TV show rocked. I love that show.
No, not the TV show.
The movie
where it's the time travel and everybody has to smoke in the future because their lungs are so bad that.
Oh, no, that movie's a piece of shit.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
No. It's back on Team Gibbet here. Back on Team Gibbet.
Remember this? Oh, we did watch this, wasn't we?
We did watch it for film.
Yeah, it's bad.
It goes. Oh,
yes. The TV show Millennium is awesome.
People don't.
The movie is bad.
People. The TV show is great, but the Millennium the movie is the greatest. It's the most underrated piece of crap.
I love that you said. I love how right you were when you said, "No, you don't." And you were right.
You don't love it.
Yeah.
You're not thinking
you love
the right
the
thing.
Show, and rightly so, you love the TV show. You don't love
you
the
don't
movie.
Love the movie. And you're absolutely 100% correct. But didn't we see William Devane in something recent and we really liked him in that too? What was that?
This moment. We saw him in Hollow Man.
Oh, that's right. He elevated that material. I thought he made that better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love
him. He's great in everything, and it's going to be my every 6 months I get to bring up the Rob Lowe TV show that William Devane was in that everybody needs to watch and nobody's ever watched it, and I can never remember the name. It's the blank
the grinder.
Yep. Thank you. Yes,
just happened to be in front of me.
Is he like a coffee guy in that one? Is that
he's a barista? Yeah. No, it's about a Rob Lowe plays an actor who's learning a role as an attorney, and so he goes and hangs out with his brother, who's Ben Sack. Savage or John Savage and has to work at the firm. Everybody loves him. Everybody kind of starting to hate John Savage because of
it's not Fred Savage.
I'm sorry, it is Fred John Savage. Fred Savage, thank you.
That's,
that's why it didn't sound right. I'm like, who are the brothers? It's Ben Savage, and what was the other one?
Yeah, and as you said, they were in trouble for stuff. I went,
it's a kid
from Princess Bride's in trouble now. Oh, no.
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway, The Grinder, go watch it. I don't know if it's still streaming anywhere, but some of William Devane's best stuff.
Love him. By the way, I just, cause I got curious and it wasn't the trivia, but I also just looked it up on my own.
Stories always start.
There's a pinball machine covered in dust at Stegman's, and I wanted to know what it was. And it is not what I thought it was. I thought it was one that was closer to our generation of pinball machines, but it's an older one. It's a 1966, Williams, pinball machine called Top Hand. So for any pinball wizards
the
out there.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. It was just so dusty you couldn't tell.
I played that in Vegas at the Pinball Hall of Fame. I remember that one specifically.
Is it fun still?
Because it's instead of hitting like punching targets, you roll over cards to try and make the best poker hand. And
they light up on the
backboard or they light up on the table.
Interesting. I love the weird mechanics of the older machines.
Yes.
That stuff's great. Yeah. Even the real basic stuff of like the late 50s when it was just a ball and a couple of bumpers and maybe two or three little targets.
Little rollover. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Just dimples that you basically roll over in the middle of the field.
Last year, someone sold one for $800. I wonder what condition it was in.
Better than, I don't know. I don't know what those
better
are worth.
Most.
What do you pay for?
Those things, I don't think old pinball machines like increase, maybe some do increase in value, like depending on the rarity, but I feel like you can get old pinball machines because they don't have all the bells and whistles and people have a hard time selling them compared to, you know, modern,
Right. More, there's a lot of maintenance and upkeep deals on pinballs, man. The pinball
machine. Yeah.
And true. They're expensive, aren't they? If you buy a new one that's just fresh off the thing, I think you're paying $8,000, $10,000 or something. Yeah. Some crazy number like that.
As I've said before, I track this one particular pinball machine because it's from my childhood. And one day I will buy it, and it is called Black Knight. It is from 1980.
Oh, yeah. And the first game I ever played, the first pinball machine I ever played that had two levels.
Yeah. The second level. And I regularly see them going for $3,000. Like, it's nice. They're not as expensive.
Well,
like,
here's what I've got. I'm going off of this. Old pinball machines without flippers, $200 to $500. You can find those. Old machines that are not working condition, $300 to $600, depends on condition. Old pinball machines working condition, $800 to $1,500, depends on the condition and the title, obviously, if it's a big one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then finally, new machines average $7,000 to $10,000, again, depending on the title. So the new ones, if you want a new one, I mean like these new, like they made a Fast and the Furious machine, those things are like $10,000 and stupidly priced. I would never pay that.
Yeah. I really want a Guardians of the Galaxy pinball machine, but they're up in that high range of the $8,000, $9,000 range.
And it's, I don't want to pay that.
Pinball is sport of the rich man.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah, exactly.
That's too bad because you're such a retro fan. You'd love to get some pinball in your life there, don't
you? Dude, I mean, if I have one more large piece of retro equipment, I'm going to be murdered.
I'm sure it has got to be like the 1980s museum in your house.
You could be the victim like, in the new in season 5 of new of True Detective. That could be the thing. Let's do it.
I could be murdered by CRT.
Yeah. Every other season they go to the South and do like a Southern thing. Come on now.
Southern thing. Oh, okay. Bring it on. Okay.
Let's get that on.
I'm here to be murdered. Please bring it on.
Anyway, this also has a note here about we knew this already, but Brian Hegeland. Is it Hegeland or Hegland?
Hegeland.
Hegeland. Or Helgeland.
Oh, I'm sorry. Helgeland. Yes.
Okay. Anyway, it says he was fired from two days after he won his Academy Award for LA Confidential. Oh, 2 days later, they fire him from this. That's crazy.
Jeez. That is so crazy.
That's because he comes in after he wins and goes, I'm an award winner.
Yeah.
I demand this.
Look at me.
Through your narration.
we're talking about a very talented writer, maybe a screenwriter. Mm-hmm. He's another one where known for on IMDb is all completely wrong. I mean, it doesn't even include LA Confidential. It's like, come on.
That's weird.
But he did the screenplay for The Postman, another, potential film sack movie if it wasn't so damn long.
Yeah.
And this guy is just known for not getting along with producers. He was a writer. He was very successful. He goes to become a director, and there's people around him who don't think he knows what he's doing.
He's got a vision, right? And he wants to stick with it.
But people are so fond of certain titles like Knight's Tale he did after this. People love Knight's Tale, right?
Which he wrote and directed and produced and like just did it all himself and proved that he can make a great movie because Knight's Tale is a great movie.
Yeah, and 42 is a great movie. This first time we got to see, what's his name? Black Panther do stuff. Legend's all right. Grossman. It's not great, but it's all right. He did a movie this year called Finest Kind. I don't know what that is. But it's got your Ben Foster, your Tobe. Oh, I know what this is. This is that thing on Paramount Plus that I tried to watch and I couldn't. It was unwatchable. I was so sad.
Jenna Ortega on a boat.
Yeah, it really bummed me out. That bummed me out.
We've talked about this in the past. Some artists, once they get to a certain point, they need somebody to reel them in. Because it's like, okay, you've lost touch with, the audience. And we've got real money riding on this. And so you have to kind of reel them in, and that's fine. That's fine.
Now the legend you mentioned, I don't know if it's the one you're thinking of, because it's not the obviously not the Ridley Scott thing. It's the one about the Cray brothers,
the two Tom Hardys.
Is it Tom Hardy? Okay, so there's a different one out there that is a dude from Spando Ballet. So I was thinking that was the one, but it's apparently a different Cray.
No, it's this one with. Is it a different telling? It must be. It's
a different movie, but based on the same thing.
Tom Hardy plays his brother and. Well, both brothers.
Both brothers, yeah. The Cray brothers.
Yeah, I think it's very, I really like it.
Is it good?
I know that there's a lot of mixed reviews about it, but I thought it was pretty great. Mm-hmm. That's not Taron Egerton. That's him playing both Crays. Yeah. Making sure
he's playing double Cray.
He does a great job. It's almost to the point where it's been long enough. I don't remember if for sure it was that way, but I just looked at it. Christopher Eccleston's also really good in that, and his character's name is Nipper Reed.
I was thought it was Nipper in the Bud.
Yeah,
oh, well.
Nipper in the Bud.
Nipper in the Bud.
I don't think that movie's bad. I think it's actually quite good.
There we go. The Craze from 1990 is the one that stars Gary Kemp from Spandau Ballet and Martin Kemp, his brother, as his brother.
Oh, wow. Because so, they are supposed to be twins, I think.
They are supposed to be twins, yeah.
Yeah, and one twin is a little different in his approach, and the other one is like a little more violent, I think, if I remember right. Mm. You know what? It'd be a good film sack movie, even though I thought it was good. It'd be a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
I'd be all right. Real quick here, Brian, you posted a picture of Lex Luthor's dad.
That's right. Yeah, that's what's his face? We're just talking, John Glover. And unfortunately, that's his Wikipedia photo and not his IMDb photo, which would have given him the IMDb photo of the week, because that is such a great.
Sure, yeah. He's,
yeah.
Looks like he's Doc Brown here.
Looks like he just woke up.
A Doc Brown vibe. I love it.
He just woke up to find somebody wearing a ski mask in his bedroom. Or maybe a sexy lady wearing a ski mask in his bedroom based on that smile.
Yeah, he's really into it. That's
Lucy
funny.
Lou's in there. Yeah, it's great.
Lucy Lou's in there with a cropping.
I'm trying to figure out how much credit to give this movie. I really feel like I need to find the entire history of Payback, because there's so much stuff going on here between director's cuts and source material and everything that was going on. And if excuse me if I sound ignorant or giving this movie too much credit, but I love the way Porter, the character, plays all sides to leverage his power. That is his power, right? Playing sides against each other through his knowledge of the inner workings of everything and just experience.
He is right on the borderline of superpower.
Yes.
Porter in this movie that we saw, and we saw the original, that was, I think, the choice. Nowadays, if you're loading it up onto a streaming service, you're choosing the original. Porter is relentless. He's got a kind of power that just it borderlines, because like when he walks into William Devane's office and punches two guys and they both go completely down, so unrealistic. It's so ridiculous, but it's almost like, whoa, this guy is Superman. This movie is giving you a perspective on a person, and that person is just really, really relentless.
Yeah.
And it's his story, obviously, since he is the omniscient.
He's your antagonist and protagonist. He's your protagonist most of the time, but he's a bad guy. He's not a good man. He's kind of a terrible person.
But he's a bad guy amongst worse guys.
Yeah, there you go.
That's why you've got to root for him.
And they leverage it with the thing that they hit us over the head with throughout, which is they keep us on his side by letting us know he's not greedy. He just wants what's his, even though what is his is what actually he stole. But you kind of forget that and keep going, yeah, he deserves that, because that's all he's asking for.
Yeah.
It does seem kind of, obviously the amount is such a funny,
it's a running joke. It's hilarious.
It's a running joke. And you think at some point it's like, all right, these guys keep wanting to give me $130,000 or keep wanting it to be, I'll just go with that. Let's just make it $130,000 just so I
but he doesn't. He sticks with his.
It's the principle of the thing, but taken to extremes.
His ethics, right? Yeah. It's his ethics, and that gets us on his side. It's like, okay, but he's not asking for anything more than he's owed, right?
That he's owed. Yeah.
No,
even though they wave hands, so we got a dead junkie in the bed, which is kind of like a chicken in the bucket, because we never. I mean, come on. Somebody's going to find that dead body. His ring attached to that hypodermic needle that he plugs into to the wall. Mm-hmm. No, nothing on that, huh?
And they do.
That is kind of a chicken in the bucket, right? Because
What did they do? Remind me, Randy. I don't remember.
The cops mention her later.
But they never follow through. So are you saying they're protecting him? Is what's kind of happening?
Well, once the cops realize that they can shake him down too. Yes, they are absolutely protecting him.
Gotcha.
But Deborah K. Unger's character is really interesting to me, because she's the conduit by which we find out that Porter actually is a complex character. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not just a hitman on the streets. And you realize that, because when he first goes back to where they live, he savages her. Like she's on just on inside the door that he kicks open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, my God, I just saw a woman get hit. But then
you're going to see a lot more of that.
Yeah. But then immediately he is forgiving her for trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's going on in his head? Right.
Cause he's got ethics, right? I guess is what it's supposed to be, I guess. I don't know.
He even says he's still kind of in love with her, even though she tried to kill him.
Cause Val is a real, the Greg Henry character is a true kind of mirror of who he is, because also Val Resnick is a superhero, kind of super villain. He's able to be in the right place, right time, super street smart. Except he has no ethics, right? So he's kind of
Total sadist.
He's so funny. You
know? Yeah.
He's hilarious. My gosh! When we first meet him, he's trying to crack jokes in the car, and Mel Gibson puts on a mouth guard because they're going to ram another car. and Greg Henry just covers his mouth with his hand.
Yeah.
But even like when he went to talk to Devane, Devane said, "You have a." I can't remember how he put it, but basically was saying your erratic behavior is useful to us at times.
Right.
And then
other
times it's a real liability. So we have to decide if we're going to replace you or whatever. But I think that was the idea, is like he brings the chaos. Mel Gibson brings the precision and the commitment and the, you know, the follow through or whatever. And it's a fun, like I kind of want a prequel where these two are just rolling around doing dark shit.
And I haven't read the book that the source material is based on. I haven't watched the old movie. I've seen parts of it on Saturday TV and stuff, but I've never watched. I haven't looked through all the material. And so I'm kind of hesitant to give all the credit to this, but I will tell you this. I will give credit to Mel Gibson for just being that guy. It's just perfect. He plays.
Oh, no, he's a perfect role for him.
Perfectly. Yeah.
Like obviously we haven't brought up all his personal shit, but his ability to play this kind of character, I don't think is under any kind of question. I've seen him do it other times though. Like he did a similar character in that, dragged from prison or something. Drag me from prison.
Right.
What's that called?
Drag Ransom?
It's like, no, it's called
not
it's,
Ransom.
It's more recent. It's
That Ransom. Yeah, that was also good.
Ransom is good.
Sometimes you get Ransom in this movie. Sometimes you get Ransom. Somebody mentions it. Sometimes you get Ransom and Payback confused. I'm like,
you know, which do I get confused with? Which one I get confused with? This is Get Carter.
Yes, I thought the same thing.
The Stallone thing. Yeah.
Oh, right. Because,
they said Carter a bunch.
Oh, here it is. It's dragged across the concrete. He plays this character named Brett, and this is 2015. It's him rolling around with Vince Vaughn. They're partners. It's dark. It's a pretty dark movie, but his role is just like, it's almost like this. Maybe he changed his name and moved states and became this guy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's very paybacky the way he is in there. But but he's great at it. And I kind of wish we had more of this sort of stuff from him that we could go back to.
We've watched a lot of Mel Gibson movies here on FilmSack. The one that really stands out for me, for in my experience, that we haven't watched is Signs, and it's complicated. There's reasons we should sack Signs and reasons we haven't.
I love turning on Signs and just letting it play. I'm not saying it's a good movie or a bad movie. I'm just saying that it's got this atmosphere that just kind of drags along, that just is comforting.
I love that movie.
I've only ever seen it the one time, so I'd definitely be willing to see it again.
Oh, we should totally see it again. Yeah. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix is the first time I remember ever seeing him was in that.
It's another divisive Shyamalan deal, too. Yeah. Like, there are people who love it and people who hate it. So,
got Kieran Culkin in it. He's in the news now. Let's see him.
He is.
He's a little kid.
Turns out he is, aside from what his character does to a window in a high rise, he is the character he plays on Succession.
Basically. He's a very good actor. And he's, my memory was he was a good child actor in Signs, but Signs is a controversial one. Signs always felt like Spielberg made it with a little bit of Shyamalan at the end. And I think maybe that's why it feels a little, that comforting aspect you just mentioned in a way, it's not inaccurate. I feel the same. It's weird. That's a weird movie for me. We should put it on the list. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
If I had to pick a Mel Gibson movie where the character sort of precedes this one, where we look back and go, okay, I see where we go from to get order. I would have to say it's Maverick.
Maverick's a good call.
Yeah, can you believe that we sacked that 12 years ago?
Wow. Oh my gosh, dude. Jeez. Really? Jeez.
Yeah.
Because this is a far cry from stuff like Mad Max and even like Lethal Weapon. This feel, you know, because this movie feels like he's accepted what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Whereas, previous characters felt more like they were, you know, floundering and just trying to survive. And,
Yeah, and it was about, well, see, this is after Braveheart, so he's just doing acting here, but I mean, his directing kind of took over for a while. That was all.
It was a good way of him staying out of the lamp or out of the in front of the camera and kind of, but still being relevant in Hollywood.
Well, like there was a period
Hacksaw
there.
Ridge is fantastic.
Oh, it's such a great movie, and it's one of the, and that's a recent film, 2017 or whatever it was, 18. Yeah. And they when that thing came out, there was a lot of people were mad at Mel Gibson then, but. But his directing work is so good, everyone is able to look past it for directing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he makes some of these, makes some of the most amazing.
Apocalyptico was really good.
I loved that movie.
Yeah.
There's not even any English or subtitles
in it. No, exactly. It tells the whole story without any
dialogue.
Any dialogue.
He's incredibly talented at this stuff. He's just has some opinions that suck.
When we were running through all this stuff, and you can read on air like me or whatever, conspiracy theory from 97.
Oh,
did you guys?
No.
Did you guys see that one?
I saw it.
Yeah. It's the one with, Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got Patrick Stewart, Julia Roberts.
Is it
good? Yes. I don't know. I can't remember anything about it.
It's funny you say that. I can't either. We watched it. I definitely watched it. And I think
there's some conspiracy theories in it. It's all I really can tell you.
It's like the Men in Black came and just completely wiped my memory of that.
Well, here's the summary on IMDb. A taxi driver with a penchant for conspiracy theories becomes a target after one of these theories turns out to be true. Unfortunately, to save himself, he has to figure out which theory it is.
Oh, see, this is so ripped from the headlines of today. We're just steeped in conspiracy theories.
Patrick Stewart's in that? Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and there was a time, by the way, you might recall, when Mel Gibson loved to talk about conspiracy theories when he was being interviewed. Someone convinced him to stop.
Mm. And
that was a really good move. Mm.
There was a while when I thought it was all fun. I think a lot of us thought, oh, conspiracy theories, they're fun. You know, it's well, our generation didn't experience JFK, but we got to experience all the conspiracy about it. It's like, oh, we need our own conspiracies. And then you come. Then you get down to you're like, oh shit, this is bad. People are actually not just having fun with these ideas and going, what if?
Really?
They're going, they're living their lives.
It's not a what if anymore. It's why isn't the media telling the truth?
Why are we reporting on this? Yeah, bullshit.
By the way, I just found out that Mel Gibson not only has a brother named Donald, but he's in everything his brother does. He's in Maverick, Braveheart, Casualties of War, Conspiracy Theory. Really? A bunch of other stuff too.
When you need a disposable Gibson, they use him? Is that
they use him for? Oh, that's interesting because so Pocahontas 1 had Gibson.
About to say,
did Pocahontas 1 have him? Didn't it?
No, Mel Gibson was in it, but Donald Gibson looks like maybe he was the voice.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I did not realize there was a Pocahontas 2.
Yes, there was.
And that's what I'm saying. They do the same thing with Chris Farley and his brother, or Tom Hanks's brother does all non-film versions of Woody. That blew my mind. All the video games, all the secondary animation stuff, all the Woodies you hear that are not in the four films are his brother. According to him.
His brother, isn't his son, not his son?
No, it's his brother. It's his brother.
His brother. Okay.
I forgot his brother's name. But he said this on the Graham Norton show, and I was blown away. I'm like, no, let me go look. And I went and looked up some of this, like some of the stuff on Disney Plus, and you hear it, and you think it's Tom Hanks, but now that you know, you'll hear a little tweak to it. You're like, oh, wait, that's not really him.
You know what I'm confusing? Because Colin Hanks is who they modeled Woody after.
It does look like him, doesn't he?
Totally does.
Anyway, so I just never knew. I didn't know Mel Gibson had a working actor.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
And he's got two first names for a first name. Don Al.
Don Al Gibson.
Don Al.
I assume it's like the Donald Gleason.
I think Donald, like it's like
who's the Gleason?
Like drop Donald, the D. But, just drop the D.
But I'm not 100% sure.
But who's the Gleason kid? He's Donald, right?
Domnall. Well, I think it's pronounced Donald, it's definitely pronounced Donald, but it's spelled Domnall.
Domnall.
I've got to watch this Pocahontas 2 because this was 5 minutes before we stopped. Well, I don't know. Maybe we haven't stopped. But yeah, we had more care with Native American. This is horrible. I'm watching this trailer right now for this Pocahontas 2. And
it was direct-to-video, so they laughable. Didn't care so much with that stuff. I thought the movie was fine. It was all right.
It's fine. I like the music.
Yeah.
I want to point out that the best known Donald is Donald Logue, who made the movie The Tao of Steve long time ago. And I refuse to rewatch that movie. Wow. It is in that time frame when I liked a bunch of movies that I later realized were crap. And I'm terrified of watching The Tao of Steve and finding out that it's garbage. I would like to just leave my pristine memories.
I don't have any. I don't think I've seen that Tao of Steve 2000.
No. I've seen Tao of Poon.
Oh, Donald Logue is the guy from
ER. Well, I know from ER, but.
Was he on ER?
I thought he was on ER.
I know him from.
I'm thinking of the other guy. Looks a lot like this guy.
The big guy. The big guy behind the counter. The one that was in the Ferris Bueller ripoff show.
Yes. Right. Yes, Parker Lewis can't lose.
Yeah, yes, that was
right. That's what that's was exactly actually, what I'm thinking of.
There was actually a Ferris Bueller TV show as well. I didn't know that.
Oh, I did, and it was bad.
Yeah,
don't go
was
near it.
Was the first Jennifer Aniston thing? If I'm is that right?
I think TV thing. Yeah,
I think you're right.
It's garbage.
The TV thing was
Leprechaun 2 is her first.
Basically, her, right? But basically, Jennifer Grey, the Jennifer Grey character from the movie is Jennifer Aniston in the TV show, and then they played sisters or something in Friends.
Yeah.
Wasn't she? Oh, no, she's the one that the guy she left at the altar ended up marrying.
The doctor. And Barry.
Barry. The dentist. Good job, Barry.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
You know who else was in ER? Maria Bello, who's in the movie Payback.
Oh, look at her. They're bringing us back, dude.
ER was a cavalcade of people.
Oh, yeah. Sure lots was. Of good people on there. Yeah. But
Maria Bello is so unsung in this movie. She's just perfect. She plays correctly. How I don't understand how anybody would want to edit this movie again. Like she has exactly enough screen time, exactly the right attitude. Like she doesn't really love, she doesn't really hate. You're just kind of like wondering, how's this going to go? And then
she names the dog.
She's the
one Porter.
Thing that doesn't get edited around for the director's cut. I think everything, she still just drives him off at the end as opposed to picking him up from the apartment explosion.
Yeah. She's great, though. She's the best actor to come out of Coyote Ugly. Remember that movie?
Oh,
she is. Yeah. Best thing. I mean, she's fantastic in The Cooler, by the way.
Yeah, you're naming movies after Payback, so she can't have come out.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I got my timeline wrong, man. Never mind. She's the best actor to go into Coyote Ugly. That's what I meant to say.
Two actors walk into a Coyote Ugly.
Because it's a bar. Get
is it really? I thought that movie was like early 90s. I've got that all wrong in my head, that movie.
The bar probably opened up in the early 90s. The movie came out.
I know it was a 2000s thing. I just had no idea. All right, there's that. Hey, any other notes before we, I'll tell you what I thought was gross real quick. Try to guess what was gross.
Gross.
And it was not, it was a very, I'll say this. Randy brought it up, but not in the context of it being gross.
I don't think it's possible to witness the sounds of Mel Gibson's toes being smashed and not be grossed out.
It was pretty gross. So disgusting. It was pretty gross, but that didn't gross me out the most. The thing that grossed me out the most was he spit that mouthpiece out in the street, and that's gross.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Nasty.
Some kid might
I mean, what would you prefer he do with it? Like, I think putting it in his pocket would be more gross.
Well,
right?
It was the right thing to do is to chuck it, but the way they filmed it, it hit the ground and like little spittle particles went everywhere, and that's gross. I don't like that.
If I was easily grossed out, I would be grossed out by Deborah K. Unger taking a syringe out of a shoe and putting it in her arm.
Maxwell Smart James Bond heroin device.
I wrote that Maxwell Smart's heroin. Yeah.
Anytime a movie, it's a trope, movies and TVs do this all the time, where somebody has OD'd, they're laying there with the needle hanging out of their arm
still
like that.
Still stuck in their arm.
It's awful. Freaking awful.
Yeah. Only other note I had is how funny it is that they're playing Frank Sinatra's "Ain't That a Kick in the Head?" Or yeah, no,
that was so
Dean
good.
Martin. Dean Martin.
Dean Martin's right. "Ain't That a Kick in the Head?" Good. While he's getting kicked in the head by Lucy Liu. Yeah.
That was good. That was very direct.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that that makes me love the music in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The use of licensed stuff is great. No problem. I just didn't like the score.
Just so just distractingly weird.
Blah.
It's like TV. Are we watching Hunter? Oh, it's like Hunter. Hey, Hunter's got patches on his elbows. Look out.
They definitely used that in Lethal Weapon. I mean, it's fine, I suppose.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll let this one go. All right.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I just wondered if this clip bugged Ibbot, and you'll understand why when I play it.
Okay.
All right, so here you go.
Same crew, and chow. Twice a week, Tuesday and Friday. Always between 11 and 12. Always the same roof. Chinese money laundering.
Val Resnick eating a sandwich. How's that?
Fake eating a sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
You could so like. There's my notes. The first item in my notes, I just copied and pasted into. drove me crazy, but only because it was so obvious that he was just faking it, doing the whole like, let's do this.
But his accent, I love his accent.
Yeah,
his
street like, accent thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's also kind of like, he kind of sounds a little bit like a cowboy.
Yeah, a little bit. He's great. I'm with you 100% on that actor. He's great. All right, here is him being funny again.
Someone ought to give me a PhD.
Yeah.
And look, someone ought to give me a
PhD. I don't think people give those out. I think you have to earn those, but good luck on that. What's this? Oh, some good beating noises. Yeah, Val Resnick getting the shit kicked out.
Was that Resnick and Lucy Liu hitting each other?
I think so. It was definitely Resnick getting beat up, but I can't remember who beat him up. But.
Have you ever seen someone having more fun with a role than Lucy Liu in this movie?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, she was having a ball.
It's just the joy of it. It just exudes all throughout the room.
We should look around and see if we can find out if Tarantino hired her for Kill Bill, which was 4 years later from this role. Because not that role's anything like this, but she's a badass, you know. I don't know. I like that part of her career.
Yeah.
It's when they start putting her in like, the Charlie's Angels movies are all right, I guess.
They're all right. I mean, they are what they are. They're.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we watch those?
Are cool.
We didn't do one of those, did we? No.
We talked about doing it.
Oh, we did with Crispin Glover. We did.
Okay.
No. You know what? I used it for a Frog Pants All-Stars trivia thing.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it.
I don't think we did one here.
I don't think I've seen two at all. And the first one's Bill Murray. Then they got rid of him or something? Or did they come back?
I think that's right. I can't remember now. I don't think I ever saw anything past the first one, except for when I pulled a clip out for two, from two for the thing.
All right, here I just wrote this guy. I think we haven't even talked about David Paymer. What's wrong with us?
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stegman.
Yeah, he's great. Here he is.
Just forget about it, all right? And don't touch my money.
Yeah, don't touch my money.
He does a great job playing this character that when he's confident, he is just so cocky and arrogant. And then as soon as things don't go his way, he's like pleading and begging for to be spared or whatever.
Yeah. And I feel like I've seen him a billion times, but if you asked me what other things I know him from, mm-hmm. it's hard for me.
Yeah.
Payback's all I think of.
His brother is in a lot of things too.
Another
payment. And they have a very similar look. Let's see. His brother is, yeah. So here's like some of his known for, Quiz Show, Get Shorty, Searching for Bobby Fischer. Oh, City Slickers is probably what you know him best from.
Oh, yeah. Night. Okay. Man, I should have thought of that one.
Yeah. He was recently, Ocean's 13.
He was recently in several episodes of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Have you seen that?
All right. Oh, yeah. I saw the first season. I really liked it. I don't know why I didn't keep going. I think there are gaps and I just lost track.
He's absolutely the trope of the butt monkey in this movie, and that's all. I'm all for it. Anytime you can make a butt monkey, I want that.
And he is perfect. Mm-hmm. He's so well cast as a butt monkey. Yeah, love that guy. All right, let's play this clip. Where is it? Here it is. This is the kid at the door.
This is heroin. This is heroin.
Oh no, it's the cops. This is heroin. Oh,
this is heroin.
That's Bill. That's Bill. Predator Bill. Can't think of his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, and Steve Paymer. Steve Paymer is his brother, by the way. David Paymer's brother, and the two look identical. So you'd have a hard time remembering who is who.
Oh, that's great. They should do each other's roles in different things.
They might. We might not. We might not ever know.
Yeah. They do the Payback 2 direct video.
the animated. Right. Just doing the voice. Yeah.
Yeah. It's perfect. All right. Lucy Liu says things.
On your knees, bitch. I want satisfaction.
All right. She kind of went around. She was all over the place with this weird accent she was trying to affect, and I wasn't quite sure about it.
I did love her just showing up occasionally and just, slamming him.
Can we talk about the trope of her?
Yeah, because what is that? So much. James Bond does this a lot where there's like a person who's just sort of there for chunks.
Yeah.
What is
that? So the trope I'm talking about is called combat sadomasochist. Okay. And the combat sadomasochist is this rare character who gets off to being hit.
Yeah.
Right.
And so like the Joker always giggles whenever he gets hit. Right.
Yeah.
And Tyler Durden from Fight Club. Right. He's like, you punch him. The more you punch him, the happier he is.
Right.
Yeah.
And Pearl is like she's the source for this trope. It's perfect.
Oh, it just hit me. Is the Pearl name like Pearl of the Orient? Is that the plan there?
Yeah, probably. There's a bunch of stuff in here, and if we go down that road, I'm sorry, this movie is really this movie has not caught up with the times.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I agree with that.
Well, yeah.
Oh, there's a couple of things. Yeah, when he's talking. Oh, yeah. There's a couple of things.
There's a few things. Know. Yeah, it's a very 99.
But Xenia on a top from GoldenEye is another one.
There you go. That's who I'm thinking of.
Yep. You gotta kick them in the crotch to make them happy.
Yeah? Yes, right. Gets off. Yeah, right.
Oh, what a great character that was. Mm-hmm. Is that Gold? Yeah, it was GoldenEye. You said it was. here is me. Oh, her doing a line from Full Metal Jacket.
Me love you. Time.
Me love you.
I actually liked that.
You liked that did you? Good.
Yeah, I liked that they kind of took it back.
Did you get off on that?
Yeah,
I didn't get off on it, but I do like that they took it back. It's like, oh, okay, so this is how Asians were portrayed in movies forever.
Oh, yeah, she did kind of take it back. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I like that, too. Now that you said it that way, I thought you meant you watched it six times and really enjoyed yourself, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, just do it again. What's that? Oh, yeah, this is tough.
Ooh, gross. Rewind it. Which way does the saying go?
He breaks into my apartment.
There's an old expression that has served me well. Do not shit where you eat or live. Do not shit where you live. Yeah, I like that better.
I love that line.
Do not eat shit where you wait. Do not live where you eat. Wait.
It's just good having William Devane do it, a guy you've seen on like Love Boat and other weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
His career is so interesting. He's in his 80s now, that guy. Rocking it. Here's Lex Luthor's dad talking.
Frankly, I don't understand it for $130,000. Oh, $70,000. His share. That's even worse.
Yeah.
It is. I agree.
Yeah.
Sure. Principal, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're going to give you money. You take all the money.
Well, that's what's great about that scene is it helps establish why that's true. Right? Like, it could just be, well, why is he being so weird about 70 grand and then never get a real answer? But we get this moment where you're like, yeah, these guys are right. Why is he doing that?
But but he's not, and he's not going to like say, oh, only 70? Oh, well, here you go. Okay. If it was 130, we'd kill you, but you only want 70. Here's a check. Is a check okay? Venmo?
Venmo. Yeah. 99 Venmo. Let's do it.
Right. Right.
What accent is this from Lucy Liu? I ask. Here you go.
And they want retribution.
Hello? What?
I know. She got a little Wanda Maximoff in her right there. Yeah,
like almost mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, it's not great. Mm-hmm. It annoyed me. Here's a very David Paymer moment.
It's a ride-along, Porter. You see, your piece of the pie just got a little smaller. But don't worry, I'll leave you some crust.
That's so lame.
I love this segment. I love it. I love it. Yeah, it really makes me hate him. It's like, oh, God, I already hate you. Now. I hate
such,
you.
Such a turd. I don't know what this is, so I'll just play it.
I have a problem. There's a man in my office with a gun.
That is a problem.
With a gun.
With a gun.
With a gun. My teeth are so big and white.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
I don't know. I always wonder. I always kind of like and not comfortable with when the actors are given a line that makes fun of someone's physical appearance as an actor. I mean, that's, I don't know. I can't, I'm like,
is that too
real?
Too much.
We've seen that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
We've seen that hurt real actors where they poke fun at actors in TVs or movies and find out later on, it's like, it really affected them a lot. So.
I feel like, you know, in a movie like this though, of the things that, whoever says about William Devane, I feel like Devane was in on it. Like he was.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he probably laughed. And went, funny, but I don't know.
He went home and cried it out a little bit, you think?
I don't think he did. I think he had dealt with that for a very long time. I think, you know, he probably already dealt with that. But still, I'm just saying. There's so many things there's so many things you can point out as a character to make fun of that making actual real physical jokes about someone's real physical appearance, I don't know.
Well, and I think he's not what I would define as bucktooth. He has big teeth, big white teeth, but there's not, you know, they're not.
I just feel like you spent your entire life from the time you were a little kid, people pointing out one thing about you. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be reminded about it constantly.
This is
just as much taking it back as the Lucy Liu line earlier. I think, you know, that you play into it and you like, you know, I'm taking the control of this. Yeah. Use that line and I own it now.
Yeah. I think there's something to that. But also think of this, Dunaway. I would like you to imagine, if you will, a Cats-like production, but with the stories about a bunch of chipmunks. And you need an old chipmunk who's in charge of the tree and is wise and knows everything. You're going to hire William Devane. He's perfect for it.
Well, if William Devane comes in and goes, I heard you guys need somebody with some big teeth.
Yeah.
You know, then I'm like, yeah, he's owning it. That's great.
Yeah.
Do we think that George Hamilton, there were no films where somebody made fun of George Hamilton and his tan with George Hamilton in the film?
George Hamilton decided that he wanted to be tan. I think that's a little bit different.
Well,
William Devane and his dentist decided on those veneers.
I don't know. Are those real teeth? I'm just saying.
They look like veneers.
I'm just saying we've grown up a little bit since then. Yeah. Let's make sure that we.
I managed to grow up watching Knots Landing as a kid. I can't tell you how much I like William Devane. William Devane he's the reason I like Space Cowboys, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, you know? I like Space Cowboys. We should still watch that. I know it got bumped.
It's probably because
once.
Wait for us. I'm not watching it without you guys.
Yeah, it's not the kind of thing you'd want to, I don't think, but it's very. I mean, I really like it for all bunch of reasons, but it's not. Yeah. It's not the kind of movie where I'm like, well, it's Saturday night. What do you want to do?
let's fire up Space Cowboys.
All right, here's money. Oh, wait, I'll play it.
My money, yes or no? No.
Okay, that went bad for Devane after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bang. No.
Yeah.
No, I says.
Oh no! He just shot me.
He shot him in the teeth.
He put his arm. He put his arm up. Funny. Did you notice that?
He did. Yeah, and he kept it up there for a long time, like he was dabbing or something.
That was really weird. It was weird.
I did kind of like it. I was like, oh, well, who decided to let that go?
Because
when they said,
you know what, it's just
play dead.
Yeah, it's like different. And yeah, different yeah. is good in this case.
Different is good.
It I didn't
is
like expect it.
Squib gone wrong or something.
Yeah. It blew up in his armpit or something. I don't know what happened. Here's, I wrote, I miss this dude.
It's a genuine alligator, for God's sake. What's the matter with you?
Sorry, Mr. Fairfax.
I like him a lot. Yeah.
James Coburn.
Yeah. Give and, Coburn and
can,
credit.
Can we have a trope alert?
Of course we can. Let's pull that right up here.
Because this is really the point where we realize that we're doing level up boss battles. Like we didn't fully know, oh, this is just level up boss battles until this moment where you're like, geez, this organization is just like one boss after another. Mm-hmm. They're just, he's just going to keep infiltrating. Like how high is this going to go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that kind of, isn't Bill, Mel Gibson's in a movie called Boss. Hold on. Where is this? Boss Level. And literally a movie in 2020 that called Boss Level, which I don't...
Somebody's recommended that to us a bunch on TMS, and I've got it in my notes app to watch, but I still haven't watched it.
Oh, Frank Grillo?
Yeah.
Naomi Watts? This looks cool. Mm-hmm. I like Grillo a lot. I watch him do whatever. He's cool.
Yeah.
Will Sasso's in that? I'll watch this. Michelle Yeoh.
Streaming on Hulu.
All right, I'm in.
I will too. Are you telling me that there's level up boss battles in this thing?
I don't know. Dr. Ken's in it. I think that's exactly what this is. I think this is the movie version of the trope you just talked about.
Okay. Annabelle Wallace from Peaky Blinders.
Yeah. Dr. Ken's in it. Probably yells gay at the top of his head. I don't know.
This looks good. I like how it's shot too. I like, oh, it's good.
Is it science fiction? Hold on. Trapped in a time loop that consistently repeats the day after his murder, a former special agent or forces agent must unlock the mystery behind the ultimate.
How have I not seen this?
Yeah, that's Brian, not, you and your timeline.
No wonder it was recommended to me. It's like
that's what I was saying. I just saw they had Groundhog Day and this, and I was like, what do those two have in common? Oh, I get
We should watch it for Groundhog. Like Groundhog Day falls on a Friday couch party. Day.
Yeah,
oh, that's nice.
I'd do that. Hell yeah.
Want to do this for Couch Party this coming Friday for Groundhog Day?
Did we have another thing lined up? We didn't really.
Because we watched, we've been watching Firefly, but we're only one episode in. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We could totally sneak that in. It's fine with me. Yeah. I'd do that.
Yeah, let's boss level it up.
All right, boss level it is. Let's move down to this clip here.
Man, that's just mean. That's mean, man.
Man, that's just mean.
My favorite line.
That's mean, man.
Yeah. Favorite line from the movie.
This is a weird thing to say to somebody.
What's the matter? Cat got your crotch.
What?
Yeah.
All the sayings were wrong.
Why would he say that?
You did
that,
not
though?
Understand that. There was no cat in the scene.
No.
I don't know what the reference was about.
I don't get that at all. That's
a
weird one.
They just take a cliche like cat got your tongue and change a word.
I understand
how Brian Helgeland Brian Helgeland makes jokes.
I know how jokes work.
Yeah. That one just seems so far out of left field. Like cat
it's
got
not
your
as
crotch.
Funny as go boil an egg. Which I thought was a much funnier.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. You've only got 2 minutes. Great. Go boil an egg or whatever it was.
Yeah.
This is also a weird one.
I promise you won't have to find out what your left ball tastes like.
Okay.
Ooh.
I don't want to know either.
And that didn't gross you out the most?
No. Had they gone through with it? Maybe.
I
would assume it tastes very similar to the right one.
Probably, yeah. I don't know. It depends. Well, it depends. Also, if you're wearing Depends, I want nothing to do with your right testicle. Mm. Moving on. How about this?
Starting to look like roast beef.
Oh, we played that earlier. And then finally, this
looks like roast beef.
Final clip.
Oh my God, what happened to you?
I got hammered.
Oh, get it.
And the jokes won't stop coming.
Do you get it?
And there's so many lines you could have played. Like you could have played most of the movie.
Yeah, it is a lot.
Yeah,
there's a lot in there. I will say that I had a very good time with this rewatch.
Yeah,
I think it's a great movie. And music aside, it's not enough to hurt it. It's still very good. All right. Well, let's get to what's next, and that is this. Let's do the film sack checklist. Narrated, check. David Paymer is a weenie, check. Who runs Paycheck Town? Mel Gibson runs Paycheck Town. All right, I wrote paycheck. I meant payback. Well, that's fun. I was tired last night. Let's go on to the Star Trek connections. I have to assume Paymer or somebody was a Ferengi or some shit like that.
Sure, we'll start with David Paymer, our Arthur Stegman in this. We saw him in the second episode of Star Trek Picard. That was called Maps and Legends. He was a doctor. How about Greg Henry? Val Resnick in this movie. Greg Henry was in an episode of Enterprise. Mm. And more importantly, he was in Star Trek Insurrection. He played Gallatin, who was one of the stretch-faced folks alongside F. Murray Abraham.
Mm. Yeah.
My peak for this movie is going to be John Glover. Phil, that's the younger guy who's William Devane's lieutenant.
Mm. Okay.
John Glover in Star Trek Deep Space Nine was Varad. This is in season two of Deep Space Nine. It's an episode called Invasive Procedures. He's an unjoined Trill who shows up and is trying to steal the symbiont out of Dax, which would kill her.
That's interesting. I have a vague memory of that. I mean, this is the guy. Yeah. This is Lex Luthor's dad, right? This is the Glover guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something about that that's ringing a bell. From that episode. Interesting. So probably the little patches on his neck and stuff. He was like, because he wasn't just a worm, right? In that episode, he played a.
Oh no, no, person. No, no. Yeah, yeah. He's a Trill.
Yeah.
And he wants to. He's unjoined. He's never had a symbiont inside
right, right.
him.
No, he's a 40,000-year-old Trill. Is what you're saying? Is that?
Well, that's what I always forget. The Trills are the worms, though, right?
Right. Yeah. The
right. You're talking to the worms. Who's not the host?
But right. But who's when Jadzia is just Jadzia before she's Dax? What is her race called? I don't remember.
Trill.
No, that's the worms.
I thought Trill was the worm.
The worms are the Trill.
With the race is the Trill. Oh, you're talking about who the host race?
The host race.
Yes, the host race.
I got
the
you.
Okay, parasite. She's human. They're humans played by humans.
Well,
and the human.
And the point is. The point is.
I'm striving for accuracy here. I'm just trying to get a good answer.
You know how them Trek people are. You better get on it.
Jadzia race. I'm just curious because she got all those cool leopard patterns on her neck and stuff. Okay, she is Jadzia Jax. A joined Trill. That's interesting.
Right.
She's symbiotic with a symbiote named Dax. Jadzia is Dax's eighth host.
Oh, the Trill. The Trill is the humanoid species.
Okay, so Randy's right. What's the
I'm
worm?
I'm trying to find that. Yeah.
I guess it's just a variation of regular humanoid.
Yeah, because this is goofy too, because it says Adira Tall, a human joined with a Trill symbiont, appears in the third season of Discovery. So even though. It's almost like they call both sides Trill.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like what they can do is they can be different hosts. Probably humanoid is the recommended or something.
So
but
are you saying the dots are because of the Trill?
No.
Oh my God, how did we get all the way over here?
Here's why I'm saying that, because there are stories in there about how Jadzia's race and the other girl and other people that come on the show, they have a tradition with the Trill. So they right. It's a long, many hundreds, thousands of years tradition of we work together. So your worm comes up my vagina and stays here.
That's not how that works.
Oh, okay.
That's not even close.
I thought I was close. Is that not where it goes in? Where does it go in? I don't remember. Is it their ear?
I'm assuming not, since there are male and female hosts. So therefore, I'm assuming no.
Somewhere near the neck, right? Or no? Base of the head?
I don't know.
I hope it's like the Gaud where it comes to your belly button.
I've joined the Trill. Clotto. That's so weird. So when they don't have a worm in them, are they boring? Are they just like empty husks? Are they just like sitting around going, eh?
That's what they want. That's what they want, yes. want you to
the
believe.
Whole story of his episode is that he feels incomplete. He feels like he's done
nobody
all this work.
Wants to infest me.
And the Trill committee had deemed him unworthy, and he really hates that. And he refuses to live a life.
Why won't you get your Trill in me?
What, did he end up dying? He probably died, right? That makes sense. That makes a sense. I sound
that,
like
that. That makes a sense.
That makes like, a sense.
I'm a Mario. Hello.
All right.
That was the awesome. Best. That was the best Star Trek off tangent we've ever.
Yeah. 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 Write this one down.
I can't.
Awesome.
I can't wait for the fan and or hate mail to roll.
That's
in.
Right. We went right from Star Trek connections to Star Trek confusions.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm still confused because that race should have a name and they don't. I can't find it.
It should
it.
Have two separate names as opposed to Trill and Trill symbionts.
Yeah. Yes.
Agreed.
Exactly. Yes. Otherwise, what are we even doing?
It's like flammable and inflammable.
Yeah. Come on, Ronald D. Moore. You were working there for a while. all right, let's move on to what's next. We did that. The soundtrack, great. I give it an M for a little melodramatic in places, but for the most part, it was fine. It was good. Social post. This is where you guys sum up things in 280 characters or less. And I think this week we'll change things up and start with Randy.
Payback. I just want money that I lost. Why is that so damned hard? My friend and wife, they double-crossed me when I dropped my guard. I'm streetwise and I'm tough as shit. Just test me and you'll see. This girl I wish I'd never quit, she named her dog after me. That's a pretty good sign.
That's not a bad poem. That's good. I really like that
dog
one.
She ever met.
If you're a patron, you get a copy of that poem in the post, by the way, as well as Brian's lyrics to his song today. So
you have to scroll up through about 18 IMDb photos to find it, though, in Discord, Scott.
Yeah, it's a lot.
When it comes time to do the post.
Check this out. We now move over to Brian Dunaway.
Oh, payback. So you say you've got a few minutes? So I say, go boil an egg. # get smart, shoe heroin killed my wife.
No.
I think you could buy a pair of shoes that just had compartments in it. Like just, you could probably just buy
shoes,
that.
Yeah.
Probably. No, I think you got to work. I think you got to work for that. I think
you got to drill them out.
I think you got to let
auger out your shoes.
Yeah. I think you let your addiction work that out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. It's probably a spy store. Hey, let's end the social post with Brian Ibbotts.
Sure. I'm sorry I had two this time around, but combined, there's still not even 100 characters. Payback. Noir. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing, it seems.
Very good.
Nicely done.
And then finally, Payback is a bitch.
Yeah, it is. Well, you're going to love today's titles then, because they were just handed to me. These are alternate titles. They almost went with David Paymerback. Because he got shot there a whole bunch of times. Yeah, he really took some. I took a load of bullets back there. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, he did. Oh, yeah.
Or this was really close. Or The Passion of the Heist. It didn't happen.
Oh, because the thing where he directed the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's get to some FilmSack emails. FilmSack@gmail.com. We got one here from Matt who wrote in, says, Scott, Brian, and Randy, please sack The Burbs. I found it on Netflix and I can't believe my eyes that it's rare because it's rarely streaming. Amazon and iTunes don't even offer it. I probably thought about sacking The Burbs before, or you have as well, because it is a supremely sackable film. Don't miss your window of opportunity. It's now or never, all or nothing, do or die, get sacking or get packing.
Wow. Ooh, I like that. Very. Get sacking or get packing.
He says, in case you have any doubt, I'll leave you this quote. Quote, I've never seen that. I've never seen anybody drive their garage down the street and then bang the hell out of it with a stick. I've never seen that, says Tom Hanks.
I've never seen somebody. Yeah, it's garbage, I think, not garage.
Oh, is it garbage? Oh, he wrote garage here. It's a typo.
He probably did. To probably spell check, but it's garbage.
It's all good.
I've seen the movie 1,000,001 times. Not to see it 1,000,002.
Yeah, you're our biggest. I think you're our biggest Burbs fan here, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, super into it. Absolutely. Well, we're doing it next week. That's the good news. We took your email to heart.
Failed.
Yeah. So Matt, you're getting your wish next week. And thank you. He says at the end of his email, thank you for the exceptional listening entertainment. Well, we agree. We think it is exceptional. And it's also entertaining. And you do have to listen to it.
We make exceptions.
We sure do. We got a text at 801-471-0462 that says, hello, sackers. Here's a correction.
Hello.
Says Liv Tyler is part of the MCU. She played Betty Ross in the Ed Norton Hulk film.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
People forget that movie a lot, but
yeah.
I actually kind of like that movie.
That's right.
I need to go back and watch that movie. I think I only watched it like 1.5 times.
I think we would be more We would be more fond of that movie if he would have remained the guy, or if they'd have made the movie with the current guy. What's his name?
Mark Ruffalo.
Ruffalo.
Yeah. Did we never really got Betty Ross in any future, like, you know, we get Pepper Potts mentions in later things, and we get Jane Foster mentions and appearances in several things, of course, in her own film just about, but we never get Betty Ross. Like, that's the one girlfriend, Avengers girlfriend that we never hear from again,
and we get two versions of her dad, two different actors.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a bummer. Bring her back.
Yeah.
I like Liv Tyler. Get her in there. Her dad's got weird lips. Anyway.
I saw that movie twice. I saw the 2008.
You watched the whole second?
Okay, I saw it when it came out, and I saw it again when everybody was doing like the watch every movie before Endgame.
Yeah.
And I really genuinely believe twice is the right number of times to see that movie. You not need to go above twice, but below twice, 1.5 times, not the right number.
It's absolutely the right number.
We are supposedly going to get more Betty Ross in Captain America Brave New World.
Oh, okay. Okay. Is it her? Is she cast?
Doesn't say, but okay. February 14th, so Valentine's Day 2025 is when it's currently scheduled to appear.
Yeah. Jennifer Connelly.
They have Liv Tyler listed in this
movie. Oh, they do? Okay. Okay. Right. Maybe she's already confirmed, but Jennifer Connelly was the one in 03, the 03 one, right?
Right, yeah. The Banna
one.
Banna Hulk.
Is that the giant poodle Hulk? That's my favorite.
The giant poodle Hulk? Wait.
I watched that one 2.5 times.
I've seen that one 3 times. There are things I like about that movie, but
yeah,
my main thing I like is
Jennifer Connelly.
No, I like her.
I like the Hulk transformation. They sold me on that trailer with Eric Bana and him standing in front of the mirror and that shaking thing. And I love that transformation.
That was pretty good. Was good one, but yeah. I really liked Nick Nolte is what I was going to say. I just like Nick Nolte.
Yeah, so good.
Anything
yeah.
really.
Yeah.
He just keeps getting better. I just don't know how he can get any better, but he just keeps getting better.
The older he gets, he just keeps getting better the same. Or something.
I keep staying the same age.
Here is a so thank you for that correction, person who did not leave their name. But here's also another correction via a call. We got a call. All right. This is a correction that we need to hear. So here it is.
Hey, good morning. This message is for FilmSack. Now, I am currently listening to the Black Hat episode. My name is Chad from Ohio, by the way. You may correct this later in the show, but you've already said it twice, so I just got to go ahead and call it in just to get it off my mind. James Mangold directed Ford versus Ferrari. Michael Mann just directed Ferrari. So I know you guys keep mentioning Michael Mann directed both of those, but actually James Mangold, who also directed Logan and Identity, and the most recent Indiana Jones movie, he is the one responsible for Ford v. Ferrari, which, by the way, is actually better than Ferrari. So anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. Hope y'all are having an awesome day, and we'll see you.
So I will take the bullet on this one because I think it was me that kept insisting on this. I really did think Michael Mann did both those movies.
Yeah, and
both.
We never corrected it during the show, so good correction.
Yeah.
Well, and his name is Mangold, so it's kind of confusing.
Oh, it's our fault. Right.
Yeah, it'd be great if his name was Michael Mangold.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you ask me, like, give me a director of the last 15 years, I might choose James Mangold.
I like him. Yeah.
Specifically
of the last 15 years, this guy, and it's like, it's because he directed Logan. It's just like, it's such a towering film for me in the last 15 years.
I love Logan. Gosh, dang it.
I just watched that while I was feeling sick.
Yeah.
I was like, I need something good after watching those shitty X-Men movies.
Did you watch Logan Minus Color?
I did not. But I did watch.
Yeah, Mangold movies are ones that could be in black and white. That was
Logan could be cool in black and white.
Imagine
black and white. Yeah. I have it on Blu-ray.
Shut up.
4K. I have it on 4K. Yeah, the black and white Logan is fantastic.
Are you serious? That exists? I didn't know that.
That exists,
I would watch
James Mangold's best movie, I think, is 310 to Yuma, and that could totally be black and white.
I am going to give a full agreement. I'm team. How do we do ours? Sure. John, how do we do it? How do we do our team, Randy?
Deluxon.
It's a rare moment when that happens, but here we are because that movie rocks, and I could watch it any time of the day, anywhere, and never forget that's where Bean Fork came from. All right.
That's right. And don't forget Indiana Jones, Dial of Destiny, Mangold.
Enjoyed it.
Pretty good.
Did we discuss it? I enjoyed it.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm nervous about it.
And also, just to wrap up that topic, do not make Ford v. Ferrari black and white, or I won't know which cars are which.
I need the two. Right. Yeah, for sure.
I forgot he directed Walk the Line. That was great.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. He is a great actor.
He does good stuff.
Give it to him, director. Do you guys remember the short-lived TV series called Vegas, which had Dennis Quaid and Michael Chiklis in it, and it was set in like the 60s, and
not
it only got a season?
With the Robert Urich Vegas with a dollar sign.
Yes, correct. This was so good. Only lasted a season because, of course it did. It's on CBS and network TV. That's good. Yeah. Never lasts. But man, it was badass. It was like Justified meets like Goodfellas. It's so good.
What year was that?
2005. 2005.
I'm sorry.
2012 to 13.
Sorry. Oh, never mind. Okay. Yeah.
It could have had a chance on streaming. I don't know what happened here. This feels like half of Paramount Plus's lineup now. So it just missed its window, this sort of thing. Carrie Ann Moss was in this. Oh, man.
We don't have a date yet on his Star Wars deal, his prequel.
The Mangold deal?
Yeah, Dawn of the Jedi.
Oh, I don't know.
Set 25,000 years before episode 4.
Ooh, they're doing Old Republic or something?
Yeah.
No, they're doing really Old Republic.
Like, yeah,
really,
like, yeah.
Ancient Republic. Really Old Republic.
The discovery of the Force.
Pre-public.
So. Dude.
Yeah.
I'm in. That's the stuff I want to explore. I'm tired of the same old trilogies.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing about this Skywalker. Oh, we're the Skywalker fans. Whatever.
You're making me want to watch 310 to Yuma. Well done.
There you go.
All right. There's that. Thank you for that call. And again, 801-471-0462 is a place you can do that. I'd like to welcome some folks to our Patreon. These are actually some regular folks have been here for a while. Brandon J.
Oh, regular folks.
Scott mentions Fury Road is this person's name.
Yeah. Brilliant. There you go.
Yeah, it's a like sure that. Way to get your name mentioned on the show.
I think that's probably why they did it. Derek McClelland is the other one. Those are just three examples of wonderful people that support us on this show. And the reason they do it is many faceted. And you go read about it at patreon.com/filmsack. But among them are things like no commercials or ads, pre-show content every single episode. You also get monthly specials. I believe I'm up this month, right?
Well, February, that's last, me.
So I think,
oh, that's you.
Yeah,
okay.
Randy, because I'm last and then Randy's first.
We're so pinned post.
That's right.
Pinned post.
Yeah, we're about to go there.
We're locked into, because there's four of us, we do it every 3 months. So this will be my second straight year. Like every year we're in the same exact months.
Yeah.
Right?
Because there's
so like yeah. I have to resist talking about the Oscars. I have to resist.
Why?
That's true. I mean like you can, but
it lands right in your thing. I mean, it's a perfect.
You just don't want to be. You just don't want to repeat yourself every year, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I'm gonna do something real cool that I won't tell you about yet until my time comes.
Just right? pull well, that Johnson.
Scott's gonna pull do that something Johnson. That Scott always does, which is
Paula Johnson.
Gonna say that he's gonna do something and not tell you about it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So you'll have to wait around and find out what that is. You also get movie related art in the mail. Other great monthly benefits. Just sign up today and find out how awesome it is. Patreon.com/filmsack. Next week we're watching The Burbs, as we mentioned earlier. Big thanks to was it Steve? No, his name was Matt. Thank you, Matt. I don't know why I thought Steve, but Matt's fine for the recommendation. We've been waiting for that one for so long. I feel like it almost snuck in ninja style and we just didn't know, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you for letting us know because I wouldn't have been thinking about it. So we're going to finally watch The Burbs. I've seen it maybe twice. Dunaway's seen it more than any film in the history of the planet.
Oh, yeah.
It's my most watched film and I've got to decide what format.
Oh yeah,
of course you do.
Yeah.
So the Burbs for you is like
I have it on Laserdisc too.
Yeah.
Well, you have it on Laserdisc.
That was why you were quoting Payback. I was quoting the Burbs.
That's right. Do you have? Hold on. Do you have VHS copy of this? Do you have
Laserdisc, VHS,
DVD?
I don't think I ever got it on Blu-ray. It seems kind of sacrilegious.
Wow. Really weird. That's how hardcore of a retro gamer and viewer you are. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how that all falls out next week, and I'm going to try to see if the guy who's going to read for us this week can read this one. We'll have him do that.
There we go.
Sweet. It's going to do it for this episode of the show. Again, filmsack.com is the place you can get everything else you're looking for. We'd love it if you did, and leave us reviews wherever you get your shows. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
That's just mean, man.
Mean. We'll see you next time. Pretty good.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Man, that's just mean. That's mean, man.